Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, NFL training camp right around the corner. Begins at the end of the month. The NFL season will be here before we know it. You're starting to get ready for your fantasy football drafts. At least I am. Blankers, you getting ready for your
ready.
Fantasy football drafts?
Brendan's had like 40 of them.
One of the best balls. That's
44.
Different.
I have drafted
You've
44.
Drafted 44? I'm way behind schedule. Way behind schedule. A couple of years ago, I flirted with 300 best ball leagues.
I'll probably be around 100.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it. But anyways, NFL season's going to be... Yeah, absolutely. Do you like the NFL? That's the way to do it.
Okay.
A couple of teams that you're expecting to take a step back in the year 2022. Here are a couple of teams that CBS Sports put together. Chicago Bears taking a step back in the 2022 season.
I mean, is it what, you go right off the ledge and fall now instead of just dangling with stepping over the ledge and falling? I mean, how far back can you go when you're almost at rock bottom?
They were one of the worst offenses in the NFL last year. They averaged 18 points per game. Justin Fields, who I'm a lot lower on Justin Fields than a lot of people are. A lot of people like the upside of Justin Fields.
I
think that he has potential. I don't think Justin Fields is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. But we're on the same page with the Bears. Like, they were 6-11 last year. Like, they're one of the most likely teams to take a step back. What are we talking about here? Like, are we talking about 2 wins? Like, I don't understand that a whole lot from Chicago. Unless they feel like Detroit's going to pass them up, right? That Chicago's going to be dead last in the NFC, maybe even dead last, or dead last in the NFC South, maybe even dead last in the entire conference. All right, so Chicago are kind of on the same page. Seattle Seahawks taking a step back in 2021.
Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you go from Russell Wilson to whatever that absolute concoction in the quarterback room is between Geno Smith and...
Who do you think wins that job?
Drew Locke.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think Locke wins the job. And Geno's still got the off-the-field stuff with the cop that, being pulled over and, you know, his comments and things like that that are going to see that day in court, but it's a distraction he doesn't need right now because he's fighting to try and get a last opportunity to be a starter. But no matter what the Seahawks do, they're taking a step back from where they were even a year ago. As much as Russ was banged up and hurt, you had Russell Wilson, and now you don't. And we know how valuable the quarterback position is, so that's a no-brainer to me that they're definitely taking a step back.
To me, they're in the same conversation as Chicago, though. Like, Seattle, even with Russell Wilson last year, were not great. They finished last in the NFC West. They went 7-10. Like, what are they this year? They're a 4-win team? Like, that's not a huge drop-off. There's, like, last year, they were dead last without Russell Wilson. They can be dead last without Russell Wilson.
They can. First of all, with the Bears, from a Bears perspective, they already have their franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And so they're a step above where Seattle is, trying to figure out a bridge and a stopgap till they figure out who their next quarterback is. And I think that with the Lions in the division, the Bears definitely aren't guaranteed finishing dead last. So I look at all those, and I look at the fact that now they've got stability at the head coach and at the general manager position, and I think they're going to put Fields in the best position to win. So I think the Bears are in a better position than Seattle. Seattle, I think, still has another half step to a step to take back and really kind of weed out all those veterans that they still keep hanging on to, even back from the Legion of Boom and all that, and just realize, hey, look, we've got to admit it, first of all. That's the first step in getting better. We have to admit we are going to rebuild, and we are in full rebuild now. But the Bears were fighting it forever, trying to stay competitive, too. That's when they finally traded Khalil Mack and fired their coach and GM and said, we got to press the reset button.
Maybe I'm putting too much stock in 2021 than I should. Maybe it's more of like a state of where the organization's at for the Seattle Seahawks. But whenever you start putting Seattle in the conversation as teams that will take a step back in 2022, where are they going? They finished dead last in the division.
I got an easy one that I don't think is on the list.
Well let's see. Let's see. I'm curious. Cleveland Browns taking a step back in 2022.
It all hinges on Deshaun.
See, I think they're fine.
Yeah.
Without Deshaun, relative to 2021. Okay. Like, I don't think they're a contender in 2022. But last year they went 8-9. Like, what step back are they taking this year? Even if Jacoby Brissett starts the entire season, okay, they go 6-11. That's not really a step back from where they were last year.
Wins and losses wise, it is. I think
it's two.
But my first comment was going to be, if you had some other option than Jacoby Brissett, then I could completely agree that the worst case scenario is they finish exactly where they did with Baker Mayfield a year ago, because I think that would be in the realm of possibilities. Because it's Jacoby Brissett and no one else, and there's no, I would have brought in another veteran just to have a shot.
They might be waiting
to
on the
compete.
Suspension.
Yeah, but again, a quarterback's such an—it's such an elaborate position where you got to know the playbook and all the plays and the audibles and everything. It would have been nice to have someone in place already, so at least they did their homework and were ready to go on the field. But look, it's a step back, wins and loss wise. But either way, they're not going to be a playoff team without Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I just don't like what's the worst they do with Jacoby Brissett, even with the roster behind him. Like, that's assuming,
I think you're right,
that Deshaun,
six wins.
They have Joshua Dobbs there, who is not terrible.
I need a better than serviceable NFL vet looking for a second chance or a third chance, but a guy that, again, could be a game manager for a year that allows that defense to pin its ears back,
sure,
that capitalizes on the running game and doesn't turn it over.
But they weren't good last year.
But with all the money they're dishing out and with where that roster is across the board with every other position,
yeah,
if they could just get a game manager, they could make the playoffs.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. Like, what's the bottom of the range for the Browns if Deshaun Watson gets an entire season?
Six wins.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Six wins. That's a drop-off of two games.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is not a huge step back during the 2022 season. They went 8-9 last year.
Okay, 8-9. I thought they
had
9.
Yeah, two losses. Yep. That's not a step back.
You think the worst they can do if Watson misses the whole season is six?
Yeah, I think that's the worst they can do.
They got too good of a roster everywhere else.
Their running backs, their defense is really good. I think they win six games with the worst offense in the NFL. Yep.
I think six games is about where I'd pick them if Watson misses the whole
season.
If Jimmy Garoppolo was
quarterbacking the Browns for one season.
But he's not.
He's not, but I'm saying, I'm looking for it, because you're not going to get Cousins, you're not going to get Garoppolo.
Maybe they trade for Garoppolo if Watson gets
the entire
season.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying, I'm throwing it out there. But if you said short term for one year, I'm going to get a game manager that's still got game left, like a Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe the Browns are a playoff team.
You think their upside's 8 wins with Jacoby Brissett the entire year?
Yes.
What? Their roster's loaded. They were a dark horse Super Bowl team with Baker Mayfield.
Amari Cooper. You got two stud running backs. You got a good offensive line, two good tight ends, and that defense where you got Myles Garrett, and you got, whether you like him or not, but you've got Clowney.
Yeah, he wanted
to
play with
Ward
Watson
on the corner. You've got.
I think I might be higher on Baker Mayfield than you guys. I mean, he was hurt.
Well,
he was dinged up all year. Yeah, he was hurt last year. But I think Jacoby Brissett, I think if he's playing all year, I think you're looking 4-8 is a reasonable number. I don't think six is a low side. I think six is a fair projection.
I also don't think much of Jacoby Brissett. So, like, this isn't like I'm not advocating for Brissett here. This is, to me, is more
I'm
advocating for the rest
I think
of the
he's
roster.
Quarterback 32 if he starts the whole season.
If this was Jacoby Brissett that showed me something in the last couple years in Indy, that showed me that he could have actually taken over for Carson Wentz and done something, then I would have been, I'd be a little bit more bullish on the Browns able to do something again this year, but it's not.
And we're also talking with the premise that Deshaun gets a year. What if he gets 8? What if he gets 10? Like, drop off from 8 wins? Are you kidding me? All right, a couple of other teams on this list. Kansas City Chiefs as a team that's going to take a step back from last season. 12 wins, of course, and then didn't get to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
I think the division itself sets it up for that to happen. I don't think you're going to win as many games because you don't have as many cakewalks in your own division playing each team twice. You would think that you could just blow the doors off the Broncos. You would think that you could do some things in your own division, but now with Russell Wilson enhancing the Broncos, with the fact that the Raiders added Devontae Adams so they have another weapon, so you got your hands full there. I mean, your division is going to be a bear for you, and so therefore 12 wins is going to, and because you lost Tyreek Hill, I believe, even if you added a Juju Smith-Schuster, I believe that the division alone says you're not going to win as many games, so therefore you're taking a step back.
They're the third most likely team, according to Vegas, to win the Super Bowl. I am not putting a team that has Pat Mahomes under center as a team that's going to take a step back.
There, in a nutshell, is what I said. You're going to take a step back if you think it's wins and losses, just like we just got done talking about.
They won 12 last year.
With the Browns. I mean, you can sit there and say, Well, it's clearly that they took a step back because they didn't win as many games as the year before. But if they still win the Super Bowl, or they compete for a Super Bowl, or they're still, you know, doing what they did against Josh Allen and the Bills a year ago, then did they really take a step back?
I'm going to play Kansas City over because I feel I just looked up the over under for Vegas.
What is it?
It's 10.5. I think they win 12 again. I'm not anticipating a step back. Like, I'm also a believer that the quarterback makes the receivers. So, like, the loss of Tyreek Hill, I don't view as this massive, huge loss that everybody else views it as. Like, it's Pat Mahomes. People were saying he's going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And Pat Mahomes is going to win 10.5 games?
I just think the schedule alone, Herbert and the upgrades the Chargers made, and the Broncos adding Russell Wilson.
Absolutely valid there.
Yeah, so I think that the division alone is why I would be a little bit hesitant to bet the over on 10.5. But in terms of... You're judged by your end results at the end of the season. There's nothing that tells me the Chiefs can't get back to where they were a year ago and more.
Yeah. See, 10.5 is, the reason the number's 10.5 is because of the division. There's no doubt about that. But I disagree with all four of these teams that we mentioned first. Chicago, Seattle, I feel like they already sucked last year. They're just going to suck a little bit less. Cleveland, I feel, is going to be relatively the same. Same thing with Kansas City. The only one I agree with, the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans last year, they were the top team in the entire AFC. They had the best record. They had the best record and then won the tiebreaker over Kansas City, 12.5. That's the only team on this list that sucks by CBS that I expect will have a step back next year.
I can see it simply because you lost one of the better receivers in the game, too, and you're replacing him with a rookie. And you still have a quarterback that has a ton of question marks that is probably the reason why you crapped the bed in the playoffs a year ago. And Derrick Henry is a year older with more miles on the tires and coming off injury. It's easy to say that they're going to take a step back. I think they missed one. I think they missed one, and it's blatant, and especially...
You want to tease it? Say on the other side?
So I was going to say, especially with the conversations that we had, whether you judge it by wins and losses or the postseason, like we said with the Chiefs, and how you decide if they took a step back or not, I think they had a blatant swing and miss.
All right. Blankers tells you that swing and miss next. Also, we continue our game. We're playing guests. Name that tune, basically, with Houston Texans in different categories. So far, I'm the most optimistic about the Texans. But Killer B, name the Texans, will be this good, is next. Killer B's ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Doc O and his staff do a fantastic job because they make you feel important, but they also let you know from the get-go. They care about getting you results. They want to get you where you want to get to because your health is your wealth and you need to invest in yourself. Just like you invest in the stock market for financial gains, you need to make gains so that you're taking care of yourself, so that you're here on the planet for a long time living your best life. That's why they are here, to help. It starts with hormone therapy for both men and women, where it can give you more energy on a daily basis. If you want to do an easier route, you can get a B12 shot once a week like I do and feel a little extra energy that gives you a little more get up and go during the week. If you want to get on a workout program, start with a full body composition analysis so you can chart your progress. And even on weeks when you feel like you're not making any gains, the numbers may tell you something totally different and give you a little bit more motivation. They take care of it all so you don't have to, and it starts by making that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com and book your first appointment. When you do, you'll find out that most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders, and there's a variety of ways and services they can help you with. Just check the website. But when you go in for that first appointment, be honest with them when they ask you tough questions. Figure out where you want to go, what your goals are, and they're going to get you there by putting you on a program that works. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by. You'll get a free B12 shot or a free body comp on your first visit. More so than anything else, know you're going to the best to get you the results. It's the good people.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're looking at the teams that everybody's expecting to take a step back, which I disagreed with all of it except for Tennessee. Who's the one that they missed? Who's the team that was at the top of your list that you expect to have a step back that no one's talking about?
So let's go from the perspective of how we were analyzing all of this, right? If you take a step back and wins, right? And if you don't go as far as you went a year ago.
Like, am I wrong for thinking of it as wins? As a step back in 2022?
As long as you make the playoffs, you qualify. So if you make a longer playoff run than you did a year ago.
That elevates you, right?
Yeah, then you can kind of go, well, did we really take a step back? Because we went further in the playoffs, we didn't win the division, or we didn't win as many games as we did a year ago.
It's the body of work.
Right, so I'm going to take it from both perspectives. I think the no-brainer that they missed is the Cincinnati Bengals.
I thought you were going to say Green Bay.
No.
I really thought you were going to say the
Packers. That's a legitimate
Packers.
Possibility, too. But they'll still win the division because they're not
playing
anybody.
They won 13 games last year.
Here's the thing. Man. Cincinnati went to the Super Bowl a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't think that they're going to get there again. You've got the upstart Bills that keep adding. You've got the Chiefs still doing what they do in the postseason. You know what? They caught lightning in a bottle for a year. But again, if you're telling me that it's a step back if they don't get where they were a year ago in the postseason, then I believe they've taken a step back there. Then from the standpoint of their record, I believe that the division is better. Lamar's going to be there for the full season, you think, as long as he gets his contracts worked out, right? Pittsburgh got better. I don't know that they're great. Their defense is good. But Pittsburgh is not bad. The Browns, we just got done talking about, depending on what happens with the quarterback position, they're still a solid football team. And as good as they had to get and improve on their offensive line, did they do enough to take a step forward? And because their schedule's going to be tougher because of where they finished and what they did,
yeah.
I believe that realistically they could take a step back in wins and losses. They're definitely, in my opinion,
10-7.
So they
their biggest total's 10.
So they, I was going to say they could flirt with being exactly where they were a year ago,
yeah,
and get in.
See, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like, I don't expect them to be a Super Bowl team.
I don't. That's the biggest thing to me.
We were talking about it on Friday, right? Like, who are the Super Bowl contenders in the AFC before Cincinnati? Give me Buffalo ahead of Cincinnati.
Kansas City.
Give me Kansas City ahead of Cincinnati. There's two. do you put Cleveland ahead of Cincinnati? It depends on Deshaun.
Quarterback is the big
question. If Deshaun doesn't have a full year, I put Cleveland ahead of Cincinnati.
I don't put anybody in the South above them.
But at best, third, right? Yeah. Like, Cincinnati, third best chance to get the Super Bowl after Buffalo, after Kansas City. Yeah, that's probably fair, but that's not the Super Bowl. And last year they went to the Super Bowl. I'm on board with that.
And look, and don't sleep on the Packers doing exactly the same thing. They're not going to win 13 games again. They got a tougher schedule. They lost one of the best receivers in football and did not replace him. As good as they got on defense and improved on defense and brought guys back they had to bring back, Rodgers is a year older, and he relied so much. And if you look at the numbers, how many times percentage-wise he looked Devontae's way, he's going to have a completely different outlook at the quarterback position and then develop timing and a repertoire with those guys. It's easy to say the Green Bay is going to take, and I'm not going to argue with you.
All right, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. Which NFL team is going to take a step back in 2022? Is it one of the teams we mentioned? Is it the Bengals? Is it somebody else that we didn't mention? But it's time now for our Name That Tune with the Houston Texans. We're taking a look at different statistical categories, and one of us is willing to go that high with each of them. Scoring defense, I have the Houston Texans. I was willing to go up all the way to the top 23. Scoring offense was, again, me, because I'm rosy. I'm positive. I love the unicorns and the rainbows. So I had the Texans top 25 for scoring offense. We're going to keep it on the offensive side of the ball. It's my turn to go first. Remember, we got some skin in the game here. We got some stakes. Whoever wins best of five series here is the recipient of lunch.
Unlike Cody, I would dine with you.
Why wouldn't you? That's a great time.
That's a Cody, not me. Yeah. I didn't say
I mean, Stu's rather hang out with Brendan than hang out with me. Well,
that's a good point, too.
Which, I don't know if he's wrong there. But anyways, passing offense is the one we're talking about today. We're doing it based on yards. So passing offense, yards, I'm first. I'm willing to give the Houston Texans top 31. I believe that the Houston Texans will be top 31 in the league in passing offense.
Top 30.
You went as high as 30?
Yeah.
Was not expecting you to go all the way to number 30. I thought you would tap out there.
Nope.
All right, this is tough. Do I think the Houston Texans will be in the top 29 of passing offense? I've already been optimistic about the Texans. Top 23 scoring D. Top 25 scoring offense, but I'll double down. Since I have the Texans top 25 scoring offense, you got to throw the ball to score in the NFL. So I'll double down on that. I'm willing to go Houston Texans top 29 in passing offense.
I'm looking at the ass bottom of the league, and I'm looking at all the quarterbacks. And I want to say that Davis Mills is better than three or four of them. I also think if they're playing from behind, he's going to put up more yards and more empty touchdowns. I'm willing to go to 28.
Sounded hard for you to do that.
It's extremely painful. You ever pulled out an ass hair with your fingers?
No.
Well, that would be about the same level of pain.
Have you? You have. Sure. Why were you so quiet when you said yeah?
I'm not going to deny it. I mean, sometimes if you have an ingrown hair or something, you've got to do something about it besides put a little rubbing alcohol on it. You got to get rid of the problem. Just telling you, man. Hygiene.
Is it?
Yes. Would you rather sit on a pain in the ass for a couple days and hope it heals? Or would you rather nip the bull in the butt and take care of it?
I do it every day 12 to 3.
Well, thank you very little.
I was talking about Brendan, not you. All right, so what did you say? You're willing to go top
28.
Was he 28? We got off a little bit there. Mm-hmm. man, do I think Davis Mills can be at the helm of a top 27 passing yard offense in the National Football League?
This is because you see everything with these rosy-colored glasses, and you've changed your entire outlook and opinion on Davis Mills.
I'll go top 27. I'll go top 27 with the Houston Texans. I believe that the Houston Texans will have a top 27 passing offense based on yards.
Name that tune.
In the 2000s.
That's where we're going.
But I am the optimistic Houston Texan fan of this radio
show. I'm the realistic Texans fan right now looking at the rest of the league.
I wasn't going to say top 25.
Okay. There you go.
Top 27 was as far as I was going to go. Who won this? 713-780-3776. Will the Houston Texans have a top 27 passing offense in 2022.
I'm curious. We have two more. Will we see Joel pick any of them?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm obviously the optimist of the show. Like, Eric the Dog Walker was right.
Oh, my God.
He was right.
Suddenly, because of one game show, you're going to completely turn the tables on me? No, sir. I will not allow it.
I think the Houston Texans will have a top 23 scoring defense. I think they'll have a top 25 scoring offense. And I think they'll have a top 27 passing offense. I think I am the optimistic killer bee. I'm the optimistic bee. And maybe everybody's right, but maybe I am a homer. Maybe I am a homer when it comes to Houston sports teams.
Well, I mean, look, I want you to wear as many crowns and and as many jewels as you can right now, taking all that love. But let's just see how it plays out.
I am scared about this one because I don't think I'm not a card-carrying member of the Mills Mafia, as we all know. Now, you need to have some health because the Texans' wide receiver depth is not great, right? And if we're talking passing offense, Mills has to be throwing to guys who are going to catch the football. I like Brandon Cooks as a low-end number one in the NFL.
You're already starting behind the eight ball.
He might be the wild card in this. Like, if John Mechie misses 2 weeks, if he misses 4 weeks, like, okay, you can live with that. Maybe right. He can have a really good rookie year after that. But if he misses more than that, don't love my chances. Yep. I also might need to see a little bit of development from Brevin Jordan, right? Like,
well, you got to have someone at tight end that can help.
Somebody's got to be able
just
to catch
like in the
ball.
Backfield. You have to have someone that can run a wheel route or give you a bailout.
Well, they got Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead's great out of the backfield.
I'm sure at practice he is, but if you think you're going to put him on the field in the regular season, then you've got more issues than we're talking about.
Let's be honest. What is Rex Burkhead not great at?
Playing in the NFL anymore now, on a regular basis?
I think that the Texans, in terms of catching...
I'm sure he's a great teammate. He's like, he made the Pro Bowl last year as a teammate.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead's outstanding. Yeah. I don't know why you have any sort
that's
of...
That's a positive.
I think that's going to be one of our categories. Rushing total yards for Rex
that's
Burkhead.
That's a unicorn, sunshine, and rainbows all in one package. That's now, how good that is.
They're better, like we're saying this tongue-in-cheek. We don't want to confuse our listeners, like when we say the Astros have first pitch at 3:05. But I do think that the Texans' running game will be better catching the football out of the backfield than they were a year ago.
Simply just because of personnel.
Default, right? Yeah. Like, you lost Mark Ingram, who was your best running back last year when you traded him.
He didn't catch the ball great.
Did not catch the ball great. Rex Burkhead, I think, was probably your best receiving running back last year.
But now you've got youth and experience.
I don't think Marlon Mack's going to be good out of the backfield catching the ball. But I do think Damian Pierce has a shot.
I think Pierce for sure can do a whole bunch of things. I'm excited to see him develop. And I think that his athleticism alone is a guy you should utilize in the pass game as well. I think just simply from Mac's perspective, I've seen him as a bailout before, and he can pick up yardage. If the quarterback's feeling pressure and you need to dump down, especially if your tight ends are limited, well, then your offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton's going to tell you your first line of defense when they come at you with a blitz or they're in too soon is look for your tailback out of the backfield. And I think Matt can get you some yards doing that.
Yeah, I think he'll be better at it than Mark Ingram.
Oh, for sure.
And I think the Damian
Pierce...
So it'd
be a tree that's on its last limb.
713-780-ESPN. Do you think the Houston Texans will have a top 27 passing offense in 2022? 713-780-3776. Dre's saying that he's willing to take me to Princess Day at the Astros game at the end of the month so I can have another crown. I'll take you up on that, Dre. I'll wear that crown proudly. 713-780-3776.
What about the dress that comes with it?
He didn't say anything about the dress. Neither did you. Oh, you talked about the crown. You talked about the crown and the crown alone.
All right.
How do you feel when Alex Bregman comes to the plate? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. Teams that will step back before we get into Bregman. 3-5-2-7, teams that will take a step back. The LA Rams.
I don't see it. I mean, their uniforms will because of the now, looks like it peed on
is
white.
Is that a cop but, out though?
I mean, again, it's kind of like the logic with the Bengals in the fact that when you win the Super Bowl, unless you win it again, and they have a legit chance to win it again. But, I mean, you look at that and say, you know, you lost a couple of your receivers because OBJ is a free agent. And was it Woods went to Tennessee?
Yeah.
So you've lost a couple of receivers.
Now, you brought in...
you lost Von Miller to the Bills.
Yeah, they brought in Allen Robinson.
They got Allen Robinson, which is, I believe you're right.
Maybe an upgrade over Odell.
Yeah. And look, the rumor is that Odell might sign there midseason if they need him.
I think Odell's a big part of it. Like, as someone who watched every snap, they became a different offense with Odell.
Can he be a number three there?
I think he'd be the number two.
Over Allen Robinson?
I think Allen Robinson's going to have a career resurgence that people aren't expecting.
Because of Matthew Stafford. Right, we know.
No, but Odell was, he changed their offense. I think if they don't get Odell back, they will take a step back.
Yeah, and he's also going to miss a good chunk of the year. Julio Jones interests me. Like, he was not very good last year with Tennessee. But how come, like, Green Bay's not kicking the tires on Julio?
He qualifies for AARP.
Okay. I think he's from like an injury perspective, he's shown that every year.
He's healthier than Odell.
Within a few weeks. He is, right. But I think that the other thing, look, I wouldn't, at this point, I'm so disgusted with the Packers' lack of trying to find someone else from a veteran perspective to replace Devontae Adams and the fact that they didn't go get Jarvis Landry. That I would take him or Cole Beasley at this point. I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
I believe that Julio is going to end up with the Colts and be reunited and feel so good with Matt
Ryan. I could see that.
Yeah, because did they bring back, I'm not even sure they brought back T.Y. Hilton. I think T.Y. Hilton's still kind of flirting.
He's still
floating
too,
around
isn't he?
Out there. I think he is. I don't think he re-signed with the Colts. If I'm wrong, 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, he's a free agent.
Green Bay could go get him too, and I wouldn't be mad.
He seems like he's been washed for like 3 or 4 years.
So does Julio.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And they've
both
been dinged up.
They have. It might be worth kicking the tires, put him with a veteran quarterback. And if you, like, they're not going to cost a ton, right? You can bring them in for pretty cheap. And if they suck, you just get rid of them.
But their ego says they cost a ton. I think if they would be willing to put tail between legs and take less money, I think both would be great options for
True.
A lot of teams.
Yeah.
I think if their ego won't let them do that, then they have to just be very content with the fact they might not play this year.
How do you feel when Alex Bregman comes to the plate? Because he was not very good at the start of the season. He was still getting on base, but he wasn't like a threat to, like, you know, just knock the pitcher out of the game or drive a ball to left field way out of here into the Crawford boxes. He feels a little different now. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit more authority. So how do you feel when Alex Bregman comes to the plate?
I feel confident. I feel like, and the main thing to me was just what we talked about when he was slumping and the fact that he was completely denying any possibility of taking the ball the other way and going to right field. The fact that now he's hitting the ball to all fields has given himself, you can see it in his body language and everything else, he's got a little more swagger back. He's got more confidence back. He's got his kind of command of the zone back as well to where he's hitting to all fields. He's hitting with some pop, but he's hitting. And he's hitting consistently, which is what you had to have. So I feel a lot more confidence when obviously Dusty does too, putting him in the four hole and batting him, you know, continually to bat him where he's batting him. But over the last, I've seen it over enough time now over the last month or so to say I feel confident when he's at the plate.
So you don't feel like he's buzzkill whenever he's in the box?
No, Dr. Dre, I don't.
You don't feel like he's buzzkill? Now, confidence is that's one way to look at it. I have some confidence when Bregman's in the box, too, especially getting on base because he gets on base at a very high rate. 713-780-3776. We'll take the input of the Hive here, too. How do you feel when Alex Bregman comes to the plate? I feel like he's going to have a good at-bat. Is that a cop-out? Is that an easy way to look at it? I feel like he's going to have a good plate appearance. He's going to take a lot of pitches. He's going to have a really good chance to get on base.
Hopefully he can help the team, good Lord willing, everything works out in the end kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. When Bregman comes to the plate, I feel pretty good. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I feel pretty good. Like, maybe that's firmly on the fence, but, like, even this, like, resurgence that Alex Bregman has had where he's closer to 18-19 Bregman versus early 2021 and then, you know, early 2022 Bregman. But he's not that player anymore. Like, the fact that Alex Bregman finished second in the MVP voting, that he was back-to-back years top five MVP, he's not going to be that guy. So I don't feel like Alex Bregman is Alex Bregman when Alex Bregman comes to the plate. This is like a new Alex Bregman, where he's not going to hit 40 home runs a year. Maybe he flirts with 30. Not quite to that player he was in 18 or 19, but I still feel pretty good when he's in the box. I don't feel as bad as most people felt at the start of the year, or calling him buzzkill or anything like that, but I also don't think he's 18 or 19 Alex Bregman, like said, Bregman being Bregman. I don't believe that.
We've discussed
I feel pretty
this,
good.
And you've said he may never get back there. And I think there's a possibility of that. We've already seen the best overall season for Alex Bregman. Yeah. That doesn't mean that he can't get back to, look, we've seen the chameleon that is Jose Altuve change from hitting for average to hitting for power to doing the things we've talked about in the last week or so. I don't think that he has to be everything that he was in that one big season for the Astros to do anything. He just has to be the best version of himself right now, which is hit for some average, hit for some power, you know, play a steady third base, you know, be a guy that can make good contact, that can get a fly ball when you need it, and you're doing your job. You're just fine. So I think that obviously as the team turns and transitions, so does Alex Bregman, but I don't feel bad. Look, I'm relieved more than anything else too, because from where he was to where he's gotten to, which I started to doubt whether he could get back to again, even to where he's at now, I feel very good about where he's at right now.
Yeah, if you relate it to where he was at the start of the season, it's a different player. And, like, to me, it's right there in the middle. Like, you can have two sides to the story. The poor Alex Bregman, I think, is even last year and had tons of injuries. And then this year, the start of the year, he wasn't hitting the ball with any sort of authority. Like, he was still drawing his walks, but he wasn't really taken seriously. Like extra base power, driving the ball out of the yard. We're seeing more of that now. I just don't think we're ever going to see him get back to the 18-19 form, which is fine. Like, if we eliminate that as the baseline for Alex Bregman, which I think we should eliminate that as the baseline for Alex Bregman, we can be perfectly happy with who he is. Like, if he's somebody who's hitting 250, 260, but he's getting on base nearly as much as Jose Altuve, and he's hitting 25 home runs a season with extra bases and getting on base a ton, that's a very good ball player. That's a productive ball player. That is a solid ball player that's going to help your team win. Now, if you're keeping the standard of Bregman being second in the AL in MVP voting, hitting 40 home runs, I just don't think that that's realistic with where Alex Bregman's at in his Major League Baseball career.
I think it's realistic, right? I think for a variety of different reasons, everybody's different as a player. But sometimes you peak, you know, way earlier in your career. Sometimes, you know, you're a late bloomer. I think from Alex Bregman's perspective, to be realistic, he can still be an all-star caliber player. Can he be an MVP caliber player? I would probably question that at this point.
I don't think so. I don't think he's an MVP type. I mean, you like just look at the Astros. I would say that the Astros
he could be an all-star player.
Yeah, yeah.
But especially with the caliber of people that are being in the discussion for MVP.
I think he could be a top five third baseman in the AL. Yeah. I don't think he'd be a top five player in the AL. He's not even a top three Houston Astro, if we're being completely honest. If we're being brutally honest, Yordan Alvarez, you take over ahead of Alex Bregman. Kyle Tucker, you take ahead of Alex Bregman. Jose Altuve, you take ahead of Alex Bregman. So, like, he's not even a top three MVP candidate on the Houston Astros. So I don't think he'll be a top three MVP candidate in the American League ever again, if I'm being completely honest. Adam texting in, 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Bregman continues to show improvement, but I don't think he'll be the same as 18-19. As long as he continues to positively contribute, the Astros should be okay going forward. See, I think we should eliminate the standard of Bregman being MVP caliber. I think we should eliminate the standard of being 40 home run Alex Bregman. I think we should be looking at 250, 260, 25 home runs, getting the plate appearances. And I want Alex Bregman to think that way too. I think early in the season, he was chasing the 40 home runs. And it's like, that's not going to happen. And recently, we've seen him kind of change that approach. And changing that approach has actually led to more home runs. Like, taking the ball
We talked about the middle. The big thing was that he was picking up what everybody had put down from his past. And he was believing he had to be a power hitter. And, of course, I think he also, to some degree, looked in the locker room and said, look what Altuve's done to transform himself into a power hitter. I should still be able to be that guy, too. Realistically, you've got to be the best version of you can be. And the best version of Alex Bregman isn't a power hitter. Yeah. It's just not. And that's not a bad thing. especially when you're surrounded by the guys that are in this lineup. But to be the best Astros team you can be, you needed more from a complete Alex Bregman at the plate. You're getting that now.
And that's not to say that his power is completely absent.
No, not at all.
I believe that, like, if his philosophy is I'm going to hit 40 home runs versus his philosophy is, hey, I'm willing to settle for 25, I think that the better Alex Bregman's the one that's willing to settle for the 25. I think him swinging out of his shoes on 3-1 counts because he gets in those counts a lot. He gets in advantageous counts quite a bit because he's got such a good eye. I think that has affected him overall as a player earlier this season. But now that his timing's back, he's willing to go the other way. He's willing to drive it up the middle. That leads to actually some more power than we've seen from Alex Bregman because he has changed that approach.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying, like,
power's defined a lot of different ways too, right? Yep. If you can hit the alleys and pound the base of the wall, but you're getting RBIs and you're doing your job. That, look, Michael Brantley's made a living off of that.
Mm-hmm. 0145 says I'll take Pena over Bregman as well because we were talking about Astro MVP candidates, blah 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 blah. Like, you would take Yordan over Bregman. You would take Tucker over Bregman. You would take Altuve over Bregman. Would you take Pena over Bregman?
Boy.
See, I think long-term, the answer's easy.
Well, but because he's younger, right?
Right. Long-term,
and
you easily
And
take
we don't
him.
Know what his upside is. I mean, he could easily turn into a Carlos Correa type or better, but he could also easily be just exactly who he is right now. And look, as much as we banged on Correa for all of his injuries, Payne has been dinged up a lot this year. You hope that's not a pattern for the rest of his career because he is so young, but there's just too many variables you don't know, and you know what Bregman's already done for you.
My favorite offensive numbers are, like, not to get too nerdy, OPS, OPS plus. They're almost identical. Payne is 778 OPS. Alex Bregman's 779. I'm a little surprised they're as close as that. 713-780-ESPN. Another text, Bregman that hits 290 with 20 homers and 40 doubles is a lot more valuable in that two-hole or three-hole. That's kind of the player that, you know, we're looking for. Like, if Bregman's going to hit 220 and 40 home runs, which he's not going to do because he doesn't have that kind of power anymore, and to hit the 290, the 20-homer, that to me is a better baseball player. That to me is more what the Astros are looking for. I would actually like that in the leadoff spot. 4683, but I don't want to have that conversation again. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, would you have deleted it? We'll get into the Wilson story from over the weekend. Zach Wilson, you might have noticed this. He had some stuff happening over the weekend, and one of his fans, Barstool guy, deleted something for him. Would we have done the same in that situation? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Zach Wilson had some things happen to him over the weekend. Some rumors, truths, I suppose. But Jack McGuire, who works for Barstool Sports, he's a big New York Jets fan, if I'm not mistaken. So he's a big Zach Wilson fan because quarterbacks for your favorite team are usually pretty high on your list. Jack McGuire had a video, right, Brendan? What was the? I still haven't seen the video. I can't find the video anywhere that he deleted and didn't delete. And then
I saw it. Is that the one with the captions?
Yeah, it's still up on his Twitter if you scroll. But he basically
You want to see it? Just all you got to do.
I saw pictures, but I didn't see a video.
He walked through the whole story of the fact that Zach Wilson's ex is now with his best friend or his ex-best friend.
Oh, okay.
And that she commented about him.
I can run it for you. Just press start.
Brendan's cliff noting us. It's fine. I mean, I can't watch that as we're doing radio, Blinkers.
You've done a lot to watch college baseball while doing radio. I think you could. Go ahead.
Nah, that's just on in the background. You do the same thing with the Astros. Yeah, so finish up the story.
He ran through everything. You guys know what happened with Zach Wilson?
Yeah. Where, you know, he was dating a girl. The girl, they broke up. Now dating his former teammate who was once his best friend.
And his roommate.
And his roommate. There's rumors that he hooked up with his best friend's mom or his mom's best friend. Yeah. It was a video just putting that all together.
This is a Barstool employee who's a Jets fan. So I don't know if he was the reason it blew up.
Okay.
But he certainly didn't do any favors if you're trying to hide this information.
I thought the video was more like it discovered something. So basically the video summarized Zach Wilson's
weekend. It's spilling the beans. It's kind of like putting the private business out there.
Was he the one that spilled the beans?
Yeah, he basically was letting everybody know what the common sports fan didn't know about how twisted all of that has been.
The girlfriend put it on Instagram.
That's what I thought.
But he highlighted it.
So he highlighted everything.
So he put a magnifying glass to the girlfriend's Instagram.
From the mom's friend to the ex-girlfriend to the fact that he's now with his college roommate and best friend.
He didn't out him. He didn't out Zach Wilson in this case. His ex-girlfriend did. And
she
just
started the process, and then he kind of magnified it.
Put it more on a pedestal here. So anyways, Zach Wilson apparently DM'd Jack McGuire. He followed him, DM'd him, and asked him to delete the video. McGuire was like, well, you know, this is going to spread like wildfire anyways, but eventually did delete it because he wants to be Zach Wilson's friend, it sounds like.
Isn't this a Jake Asmund question?
Because he's a Jet fan?
Yeah, this is the ultimate Jake Asmund. Jake Asmund would say, if you come on my show once or twice and send me a signed jersey, I'll take it down right now.
Yeah, I guess that you could relate there. You could relate that. Yeah. But anyways, McGuire ended up deleting it because he wanted to be happy with, you know, wanted to be on good terms with Zach Wilson. Then Zach Wilson unfollowed him, and then he posted the video again because he unfollowed him. So would you have deleted this video for your favorite athlete? Like, is Aaron Rodgers your favorite athlete?
No, he's not. You know
he's
that.
He's not?
I'm very, very I'm not like Brendan is with his man Stafford. I have lost all respect for Aaron Rodgers off the field. I'm just, look, I know, I already said, he makes my football team better, but other than that, yeah, no, he's not that guy.
I don't have a favorite athlete on the level of Brendan having love for Matthew Stafford.
I really don't either. Especially doing what we do, it's hard to do that.
Maybe Biggio, maybe Yao Ming. Like,
I would delete anything Matthew Stafford asked of me.
But you love Matthew Stafford.
I would delete my profile
as much as
picture.
You love Paul Gallant. Who do you love more, Stafford or Gallant?
Oh, it's not even close. Matthew Stafford by a long shot.
Like, my favorite athlete ever, I would probably say Craig Biggio. But Yao Ming's very close. Like, but current favorite, like Jose Altuve?
Yeah, I don't have a
but
current
not to that
right now. Like, I would say all time, I always, was Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think Bo Jackson comes at me and he's a little perturbed. I'm probably going
to
do it.
He came to you on Twitter.
Yeah.
DM'd you on Twitter. I'm surprised Bo Jackson's your favorite athlete ever.
Oh, my God. Two-sport athlete and just watching all the things
he did. But he wasn't
on
your teams. Or you didn't have a personal relationship.
At that time, my teams all sucked, too. And the fact that he was doing things athletically, no one really had ever seen done before.
So you're a Fairweather fan.
No, I'm just a true aficionado of great athletes.
Do you like Bo more than Barkley?
Well, Barkley, I didn't realize I was going to develop a friend, like a personal relationship with and become buddies with. But, you know, I used to hate Charles Barkley when he played against the Bucks because he used to get in fights with everybody, and he was the arch enemy of all Bucks fans.
So would you have deleted this video for Bo Jackson?
See, if it's just me, the fan, it's one thing. If it's me doing the job that I do now or someone at Barstool, no, I don't think I would. I don't have a relationship with him going into this. I'm a grown-ass man that's doing his job. I'm sure that the people that I work for is loving every minute of what I put out there.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, just kind of weighing it all out in my own best interest, because I like Zach Wilson showed who he really was. The minute he took it down, for him to just say, oh, my work done is here, bye. Screw you.
I'm surprised he said, please, what would it take? Like, Zach Wilson was negotiating.
Did he put the actual DM out there for people to see?
He did later, yeah.
See?
Well, he didn't put the whole thing. He just put parts of it.
Well, like I said, if I don't already have a relationship with the dude and I don't know him and this is, you know, it's his own doing and I'm also benefiting from it from a financial or a work perspective, yeah, miss me on the fact that you want me to take it down.
You wouldn't take it down for Bo. Would you take it down for Barkley?
If we're friends, yeah.
All right. So I think Barkley's your favorite athlete.
No, I think he's a good friend. I think he's a good friend, and that's different.
Okay, so for a friend versus a player,
like Ray Allen.
Different.
Allen is a great dude, and he's been a longtime friend. If Ray Allen asked me to take something down,
okay,
I'm going to take it down. If it's a guy I don't even know that suddenly is trying to cover up for his own doings, and I don't feel like I have any reason that I have to take it down, or I took a personal shot at him in the process, I'm leaving it up.
Okay, so
what about you?
I think friend teammate's different. I don't think I would have ever posted anything
like
that.
If this is Case Keenum, oh my God.
Oh, I forgot about Case Keenum. Woo! Case Keenum would never put himself in that situation.
He probably wouldn't,
honest.
You're right.
It doesn't need to be this exact situation, though. It could be like a criticism or something, like anything. If he asked you to take something off of social media, would you do it?
Here's the thing, though. Like, if you're willing to post the video about it, I think you've already crossed that boundary. Like, if
you already thought about it in your own mind.
Yeah, you've already crossed that boundary. If you're posting that video, the answer has already been told to me. Like, to me, the question is even before the video. Like, oh, will you take this down? Like, you probably shouldn't
Who's
have put
your
it
boy
up
with
in
the
first place. Quentin Grimes?
If Q Grimes,
I would have
never even considered putting it down there in the first place.
Yeah, I think once you post the video, the answer has already been given.
I don't think that's totally fair.
Why not?
I mean, this guy works for Barstool, so it's a little bit different. But, like, just generally speaking, I think any of the three of us could post something, and there's a relatively reasonable chance that the athlete would never hear of it. More than likely, the athlete would never hear of it.
But you're bashing or criticizing or putting your favorite player in a position of negativity and shame.
I mean this sincerely. I think it is more okay to do it when you believe they won't see it.
I don't disagree with him.
Right, but
I think there's a portion of the people in quote-unquote media, and it's such a wide-ranging term now as opposed to years past. I think that bloggers and otherwise, I think that there's a portion of them that think as long as the person himself doesn't see this, I'm good with it.
No, I mean, I think that is fair.
I think, like, it's fair. I really do too.
But a blue check mark's going to be seen. Like, Jack McGuire has a blue check mark. You're going to see that. Like, I believe if you're a blue check mark guy and you post that about, like, an athlete that has a viral reaction, you're going to see it.
Yeah, well, it goes viral.
I think the thought process goes deeper than just if the player's going to be upset. We already know that certain players and certain teams have certain followings that you do realize, to your point about the blue check mark, that there is going to be hell to pay and backlash. You better be ready for it. Whether you like it or not, or you feel like it's deserved or not, you're going to have to deal with that, and how you deal with it is coming. It's a firestorm.
Do you believe that Jack thought it was going to go viral? So you don't, Brendan, you don't think that Jack thought that this would go viral?
I think he thought it would get some run from Brett because of Barstool.
Well, then he should have known that Jack, it would have gotten Zach Wilson's attention.
I don't know that you can ever predict something to go as viral as this has. Like, you guys might be too old to really get this.
Now there's that jab. Wow.
Just because I'm a millennial that identifies as a boomer does not mean I'm old.
But, like, the level of memes. Like, I'm not even kidding. I had a friend in a group chat send, like, 12 straight Zach Wilson memes. this is beyond, like, sports viral and is, like, almost, maybe that's not totally fair, but it's beyond football fan viral. Like, there are people who don't care about football who are seeing this. Like, it is blown up to a different level. I don't think you can ever predict that level of viral.
Here's the realistic thing to me from the Charles perspective. Because he now does what we do on a far grander scale, because Michael Jordan has basically defriended him because of his honesty about Michael Jordan, he has a rational, realistic point of view to where he can say, you know what? That's fair. That's cool. If it's like something being critical of him.
Yeah.
Where I think you draw the line is if you're putting their personal business out there and you haven't talked about the personal business out there and you are truly friends with the person, then I think that's on you.
Yeah, if you're truly friends, you shouldn't put that out there. Now, if you're holding, like, if we're going to have the discussion, do you delete the video for your favorite athlete? I would. Yeah, I would. I'd do it for any U of H athlete. I would do it for Biggio. I would do it for Yao Ming. I'm not sure there's a ton of current professional athletes I would do it for, but for those select few, I would delete the video for those select few. I would. So I'm with Brendan in terms of, like, his love for Stafford. I got love for my specific guys, too.
That's fine. I mean, look, I think that everybody has different levels. Like, I haven't seen... And this is not a slam on Brendan, but I didn't know and I haven't seen an adult with the type of fandemonium that he has for Matt Stafford until Matt Stafford got out of purgatory and had a chance to win a Super Bowl, and he kept his dedication, more power to him, and he got to see it through to fruition and enjoy and reap the benefits. But there are people that I think, if put into this situation, because of their desire to truly want to think that they could be friends with the person... This is the start of a foundation, Jeremy. I'm going to take this video down because we're going
to
be boys.
See, I think that's kind of weird, to be honest. Like,
I'm not saying that it's not.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. If I didn't know the guy or...
I'm not calling you weird, Brendan, because you haven't done that yet.
For me, it almost takes that personal relationship, to be honest. Like, if I didn't have a personal relationship with the player, I think I would leave the video on there.
Exactly. I have a personal relationship with Matthew Stafford. All the meaningful moments
he got you a bunch
in my
of,
life.
Yeah, a bunch of what? 9-7 seasons? Yeah,
a bunch of entertaining football that I haven't gotten to watch otherwise.
A bunch of top 10 first round draft
picks. If Joey Harrington was your franchise's second best quarterback in your lifetime, you might feel differently.
What would it take for an athlete to get to that level, though? Like, for, like, current, like, especially, like, in our current stage of life. Because usually, like, your all-time greats or your all-time favorites, usually they're whenever, like, you were young, right? They were from whenever you were a kid. Like, what would an athlete have to do right now to get to Brendan's level of Stafford love? Like, to me, it would take a lot. It would take titles.
It can't happen. I don't think it's possible. No, I mean, I'm not talking about me. Like, just, I don't think it'll ever happen again for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It happened with Stafford because I was a kid when he started.
I don't think it would happen for me either. Like, it would take a personal relationship.
See, I think anything can go viral at this stage, but Chris makes a great point. Even back before social media had this kind of a big explosion across the world, when Delonte West had the rumors about LeBron's mom, that was all over the place, and he was still in the locker room with LeBron.
There was social media there, though, right?
Yeah, but not as. I don't think it was as popular in as many different platforms. There wasn't Facebook and Twitter and Twitch and TikTok and all these different things. I think it was growing, but I just think that it's always been there. I think that's the other thing you have to factor
did
in.
Did LeBron kick Delonte West out of his top eight when that happened?
It was dicey in the locker room for a while. Regardless,
yeah.
Wouldn't I mean? Look, at any there's certain things that are all off limits, no matter what. But you want to go into a locker room in which you're looking across the locker room from a dude that may have slept with your mom?
I mean, that's on LeBron's mom. That's more on LeBron's mom than it was Delonte West.
I think it's on both of them.
I think it's more on the mom than Delonte West.
I think we know that Delonte may not have always been all there in his thought process, but I think it's on both of them because Delonte West, trying to make a name or be an NBA player, realizes the franchise and face of the NBA or one of them. I think I could abstain from his mom if I had to.
Mama should have abstained from a teammate. Would you be willing to delete this for your favorite athlete? 713-780-ESPN. All right, who are the NFL teams who need more hype? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.